Well, open up your Bibles, your Biblicals, as Dave says, to Revelation, is chapter 2 again. I don't think he's quite through with this yet on the space to repent, which is the title of the lesson I think I taught last Sunday, space to repent. And I've listened to that again, and I asked Bronk and Jim to listen to it, Jim Martin and Bronk Flint, and I wanted to get their input. Both of them said they thought it was pretty balanced on telling the truth on both sides. You know, you can get off in the ditch on either side, you know. You can get off into the greasy grace, which today we often call radical grace. And or you can get off into legalism, or you can lose your salvation for a cuss word. Or worse than that, you thought a cuss word. That's it for you. It's hellfire and brimstone. You thought a cuss word. You didn't even say it. I'm telling you. Religion is crazy. Religion does not understand family at all. You know, I found it. No, I won't even say that. Okay, hallelujah. Be nice, Gary. Yes, sir. So, Revelations chapter 2. And then we have a specific area talking about repentance that I'll get to here in a minute. But you've got to understand, the Lord is not after sending people to hell. The Lord shed his blood and took the stripes and everything he did trying to make a way for us to make heaven. Amen. And really the new earth that's coming and the new heaven and to live with him forever. God's trying to save us. He is a judge, but that's not his favorite job. Savior, Father, that's who he is at his core. Amen. So, I'm not going to try and reteach last Sunday because we're going to springboard off of last Sunday though. Last Sunday's message was partly to the legalists. You just wouldn't believe some of the emails I get. And God bless them. I'm not mad at them. I feel sorry for them. I try and stay teachable. I know there's a lot I don't know. I do understand that. And Dave has told us so many times. He says, don't stop praying the mysteries. He said, there's a lot of things we don't understand yet. Otherwise, we'd already be in the revival. And I believe that. So I try to be as teachable as I know how. I just want truth. I'm not going to be teachable with error. But I am teachable with truth. Thank God for the Holy Ghost who gives me that witness on the inside. Amen. Same with you. So the legalists, you know, when I'll say things like the most... Here's one of the most recent ones. When I say the most tormented people I have ever known are Christians, genuine Christians, who refuse to forgive. They are the most tormented, unhappy, miserable people. Now, they're not the only ones. The other ones, a little below there, Christians who won't repent of sin. They come to church, they sing songs, they pray, they even worship, and they go sin on purpose. Go to the bars. Sleep with other people that they're not married to? Was that clear enough? Well, there's a word for that. We call that fornication. Now keep that in mind today. But I will say today, where he is today. Help me, Jesus. I'll say the most tormented people that I know, though, are the ones that they refuse to forgive or they say they can't forgive. Yet they love the Lord. And I get flack for that because the legalists say, well, if they didn't forgive, they're not saved. Really? So when Paul writes, okay, I said go to Revelation, hold your place in Revelations. We're going somewhere else. let me just read it to you. Just stay in Revelations. Let me just read this to you. Here's Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be you kind one to another, tender hearted. Now notice, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now if the legalists are right, it should be written like this. Be you kind one to another, tender hearted, and if you have not forgiven, you're not saved anyway, and you're on your way to hell. Come on. That makes no sense at all. Christians struggle with forgiveness. Am I at the right church? I'm not getting any amens at all. Christians struggle with forgiveness. tell me they don't. You do too, you righteous outfit. They struggle with all of these things. And sometimes being kind to one another, tender-hearted towards, they struggle with those things. And the Lord is, again, I'm reminded of Alan's message recently about the vessels in the house. Now, all of these vessels are in the house. There was gold and silver and clay pots, earthen. We know what the clay pots are for. But they're in the house. They're useful. You don't have to stay a clay pot. But there's some flaws, there's something in you that right now, okay, there's in Gary, there's things that make Gary more clay potish than goldish. But the good news is, it says in that same passage, leave it, that passage, that I can purge myself of the clay. And I can be transformed to the gold. Isn't that right? We're working on stuff. Now, legalists don't let you work on stuff. But you have to. Anyway. Since Dave is here, the only perfect one is Jesus and Dave. He kind of looked at me like, what? Yeah, I didn't get that past him. Okay, he's too sharp for that. Now, but I'm telling you, God gives us space to repent. Now, so let's go here again. I'm preaching too long on this already and hadn't even read the verse yet. So back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame, has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now, this is a good church. Listen to his description. I know thy works and charity, which is love. So I know thy works, your love and service and faith. That's pretty good. And thy patience and thy works. And the last to be more than the first. In other words, they're not burning out. They're burning in. They're doing more now than they were at the beginning. It's a good church. But notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest, that means allow, that woman Jezebel. Now, you do know this is not the same Jezebel that you read about back in the Old Testament, but this is someone with that same spirit, someone with that same attitude, which calleth herself a false prophet. None of them ever do. I have a revelation from the Lord. I have come to prophesy that all your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. You can sleep with anybody you want to, whether you're married with them or not. And you can eat things sacrificed to idols. Today it would be you can go to the bars and watch anything you want on TV or at the movies. Things sacrificed to idols in our day. See, when I say it like that, it doesn't seem quite so far-fetched. Because that literally is being preached massively on television in your town today. A lot. It's called radical grace. At the same time that they'll say, now we don't really promote sin, but at the same message, they remove all penalty for it. And that means your flesh hears that. Goes, woo! Finally, I can do what I want and still make heaven. No, you can't. Nope. But the Lord does give you space to repent. So now I'm going to read it the way it really is here. You allow that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. She calls herself a woman of God who hears from the Lord. And she teaches to seduce my servants to commit fornication. Now, that in plain English is sex with somebody you're not married to. Okay? And this woman of, quote, this prophetess, self-proclaimed prophetess, is saying, you can do that and you're okay with God. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Okay? Now, notice, for you legalists especially, and I love you, I'm not mad at you, I'm trying to teach you, I'm trying to help you, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. What? What? You mean while she's doing and while she's teaching, you gave her space to repent? Yeah, sure did. Trouble of it is, she repented not. You see that? Now, I looked up that word space right before the surface. That word in the Greek refers specifically to time, not distance. Refers to time, okay? And it specifically means delay. And the implication is delay for opportunity. God is delaying judgment to provide an opportunity for you to repent. How many are thankful he's like that? But now notice, space, a space of time, does not mean eternal time. And it will come to an end. Of course, that's the big question. How many times can I commit this sin? And I personally believe, I can't prove this, I personally believe that answer is hidden on purpose. Only God is the judge. Only God. See, Samson thought he could keep going to Delilah forever. He said, yeah, I'm getting away with this. Well, he didn't get away with it, did he? There came a day he thought this will be a time like any other time. And he came out of that time blind and powerless. Pretty good description of our church today. The church, I mean, at large today. Blind and powerless. Sticking back with this. I gave her space to repent. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. When I say I have met Christians who are the most miserable people that I know. Here it's talking about fornication. Well, you should repent of that for sure. But unforgiveness. We're going to look at Matthew 18 in a minute. Unforgiveness opens the door. It's one of the few things in Scripture that specifically tells you it opens the door to the tormentors. I don't know, but we're going into revival. And not the gifts kind, where God is using spiritual babies, that the only way he can use them is by the gifts. Dear Lord, and thank God for the gifts. We're not against the gifts. We've had those kind of revivals in the past. There was one in Lakeland, Florida a few years back, and all kinds of signs and wonders were happening. And found out later, behind the scenes, there's fornication and drunkenness going on and greed. Right during the quote revival. That was a gifts revival. Pure gifts to spiritual babies who are not acting like Christ. They're not very much mature like Christ. They got gifts. God's not after that. We've not been preaching for that for 20 some odd years. God can do that anytime he wants. Babies are everywhere. He's wanting mature people that have grown up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's been conformed to his image, that literally walk in love, walk as he walked, talk as he talked, has the same results he had, and our testimony will be the same as his. Yeah, here comes the devil, but he has nothing in me. Because we've allowed ourselves to purge that clay, purge that flesh. Through the Spirit, you do mortify the flesh. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm preaching good. Got a little Nathan on me today. Hallelujah. I mean, Holy Ghost. Sorry. Nathan's right back there giving me the fist bump. Hallelujah. But notice, even with... And the legalists, this just blows their mind. God gave Jezebel space to repent. Yeah, and those that listened to her. Look, verse 22. Well, let's see. Verse 21 again. I gave her space to repent. I gave her delay. I delayed judgment in order to give her opportunity to repent. And he does the same with those listening. But she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now notice, if you underline, please underline, except they repent of their deeds. Put three underlines under the word deeds. Repentance goes beyond I'm sorry. Repentance means stop it. Stop the deed. I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it again. That is not repentance. What stands out to me is the Lord is still after repentance. He's delaying judgment. He loves them. He loves them. He died for them like He died for anybody else. He's delaying judgment. He's holding it back. Please use this space of time to repent. Please repent. Please repent. But space does not mean eternity. Space does not mean unlimited. One day that space comes to an end. When is that? Only the Lord knows that with you. I don't want to test that boundary. My flesh does. My flesh don't care at all. Don't care. My flesh does not care at all. I am college educated. I just don't talk like it. But anyway. But now, this is not His nature, except this is not what He wants. Let me say it that way. Verse 23. And I will kill her children with death. Now, wait a minute. Wait. A cotton-picking minute. Didn't He just say this is to the church at Thyatira? This is not written to sinners. This is written to church people. I know your works and your love and your faith and your all of those good things. And this is not written to sinners. When He says, I will kill her children with death, who's her children? Those are the ones following her. And He's saying, if they don't repent, they're going to die. Does that remind you of a verse in Romans 8? If you live after the flesh, thou shalt die. You shall die. Isn't that true? This is where Jude talks about those that are twice dead. How in the world can you be twice dead? Well, everyone's born spiritually dead. So everybody is once dead. Say it like that. But you come alive. You got born again. For a while you walked with the Lord. You had the life of God on the inside of you. And then you started falling into stuff. Falling into stuff. Could, in this case, fornication. You can go to Galatians 5. There's a list of other things. Don't be handling that snake. Okay? Dave used to say that little baby snake might be cute. Maybe you like playing with it. That little snake is not going to stay a baby. It's going to grow up, and when it bites you, it's not planning on hurting you. It's planning on killing you, and that's exactly what fornication, in this case, was the snake, and eventually it caused the light that was in them to go out. They became twice dead. They were first born dead like everybody. They came alive in Christ, but eventually they persisted. God gave in their sin. God gave them space to repent, but they repented not. That space doesn't last forever. And He says, I will kill them with death. That is the twice dead thing. And all the churches will know that I am He which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your intentions. Is that what it says? According to your works. Now, specifically here, He's talking about fornication. And He is talking about eating things sacrificed to idols. But open your Bible to Mark 11. Specifically today, I want to talk about to the church to repent of unforgiveness. Repent of unforgiveness. See, now we're back to that statement. Because when I say the most miserable people on earth that I've met, and that's still true today, the most miserable people I've ever met are people that are genuinely Christian, but they still harbor unforgiveness. The longer you harbor it, the bigger the snake gets. It will go from unforgiveness to bitterness. You'll become, and it starts something, it permeates the character. You'll become a critical, untrusting. You wonder why people don't like to be around you. Person. Well, the only ones that like to be around you are the ones like you. And you can all talk about how bad everybody treats you. I'm not looking at anybody, by the way, on purpose. I have to look some. I just look at the camera. No. Mark 11:25, right after prayer. Jesus has been teaching on prayer. How many wants their prayers answered? I want my prayers answered. Well, when somebody says, and he just got through saying, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And we all go, yes, 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 amen. Except there's the word and in the next verse. And means he's not through talking yet. Well, I believe that my prayers are, I believe he heard me. I believe I received when I prayed. I'll have it, Brother Gary, when I have it. Have you read the and? And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, he does not say, neither will God be your Father anymore. That's not what he said. See, legalists, well, I've got one in particular right now that wrote me a particularly succinct email. Nice. And I was discussing it with Angie. We don't know who it is. They didn't have enough courage to put their name on it. But anyway, my first thought was, I would bet a lot of money that person has never had children. They don't know what it is to have children that mess up. And you love them unconditionally. And you may have to even deal with them in a disciplinary fashion, which is not your first choice. You know, what you wish is they wouldn't mess up. But when your children mess up, nobody kicks their children to the curb and say, you're not my child anymore. You do everything you can trying to help them and nurture them and get them back on the right path. And sometimes when, you know, it changes as they get older, you know, when they're little, you may send them to bed without their supper. Of course, nowadays you can't do anything without being considered child abuse, I guess, you know. See, in my day, my daddy knew how to apply the board of understanding to the seat of learning. You know, wham, come here, boy, whap. Sometimes I got to go pick out my own switch. And I learned not to pick the littlest one because he'd go pick a different one. You had to pick one that was worthy. Nowadays, anyway. But every parent understands space to repent. Dear Lord, they're living for the day that their child repents. They're not looking for the day they can cast them out and not, you know, disown you. No. This only makes sense in the light of a family. Go to Matthew 18. I'll go there too on this one. Peter, Jesus was teaching on forgiveness. Peter was listening. He knew what Jesus was talking about. So Peter, at the end of Jesus' original teaching here about when your brother sins against you, you know, how to forgive him. Peter understood it. Verse 21 says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, the way it's worded, I believe he means seven times in a lifetime. Yeah. Seven times in a lifetime. If you forgive, you know, if we live 60 more years and I only have to forgive you seven times in 60 years. But yet I think Peter thought he was being generous. I really do. Lord, I'll be extra. I'm not just going to forgive this guy once. Not even twice or three times, Lord. I'm willing to forgive seven times. That'll be enough, right, Lord? In a lifetime? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. There's another reference where Jesus teaches on forgiveness and he mentions in a day. That doesn't say 70 times seven, but so many times in a day. holy cannoli. Is that okay? I mean, my goodness. I mean, Peter, what? Then Jesus gives this parable. I'm going to read it, try and read it all the way through, and then come back and talk about it, okay? And because Jesus gives an illustration of what he's talking about here. Therefore, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, if you look that up, let me just tell you now, that's a gob of money. That's a gob. That's gobs squared. That's more money hardly than you can. I mean, nobody hardly ever. I don't even know if Donald Trump could pay this. I mean, it's like so much. It's like this guy's a servant. The implication is there is no chance ever that this guy could ever repay it. Okay. But the Lord, okay, he owed him 10,000 talents, but forasmuch as he had not to pay. Boy, if you underline, please underline that. It's going to be so critical later on. He had not to pay. Well, you know this is talking about forgiveness. This is the gospel. We could not pay for our own sins. We could not pay. We could work a lifetime. No amount of works, no amount of effort, no amount of giving, no amount of money, no matter, there's nothing, nothing, nothing we could do. Hopeless, hopeless. We're like this guy. 10,000 talents. If you look that up, it's just an astronomical. There's no way he could ever pay it. But look, this is religion. For as much as he had not to pay, well, first off, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. Well, that's God as judge, right? The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him. That's type and shadow getting born again. Saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Well, that's stupid. This guy owed so much, there was no way in all eternity he could ever pay it. So then the Lord of that servant was moved with what? This is him. This is the heart of God. Moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, just so you'll know while I'm preaching, the judge side of him cannot acquit the guilty. I will in no wise acquit the guilty. Somebody had to pay. We know who that is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Through the price that Jesus paid, all of us were loosed from a debt we could not pay. Oh, God. But that same servant, now here's unforgiveness, see. That same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now I looked that one up. As far as I can tell, in today's money, it'd be about $15. Yeah. In other words, Jesus on purpose is using words contrasting what you owed God compared to what anybody does to you. It's nothing. Now, I'm not saying it's not serious. People get forgiveness, the definition of it, mixed up. They think if you forgive them, you're saying what they did to you was okay. That is not what forgiveness is. It was not okay. It is not okay. It never will be okay. But I'll tell you this, Jesus paid the price for that. And even that person can be saved and make heaven. Amen. But you're not making it easier by holding unforgiveness against them. You're not saying what they did is okay. You are loosing them and letting them go. I'll tell you while we're on this subject, forgiveness is not the same as trust. If you steal all my money, Please, I'm not advocating this. But if you steal all my money, trust me, I will forgive you. I'm not going to hire you to manage my money. You have to, trust is earned. Forgiveness is free. You see the difference? I'll forgive you. I'm not going to trust you to hire. You know, I want every. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and say it. God wants every pedophile in heaven. Wait, there was a little hesitation. You had to think about that one just a minute, didn't you? Didn't you? He wants them all to be saved, repent, and make heaven. That does not mean, and it, so thank God that I want them saved. Thank God one of them comes, slings snot at the altar, gets saved, repents, you know. I'm not going to put them in charge of babysitting my kids in a month or year, 5 years. Maybe 100 years. Trust is earned. That doesn't mean that I didn't forgive them. There's a difference. See, people get it all mixed up. Oh, we'll get to it here in a minute. I said I was going to read this without preaching. I can't do it. You know I can't do it. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Now here's this guy. Here's this Gary guy. That has sinned against God for 33 years. I mean, he has sinned big time. There is not enough books, I don't think, to write down all the sin that this Gary guy did for 33 years. And Gary guy grew up knowing God and still left God and got out in the world and wallowed in the mire and ate his own vomit. 33 years. Built up a debt Gary could never pay. And the Lord had compassion on Gary. And he loosed Gary from all that debt. God's son Jesus paid the price for me. I was a slave on the auction block and no way to redeem myself. Slave to sin. Slave to hellfire coming. Someone said, I'll die in his place. Well, that one I belong to. That one I belong to now. I owe him everything. Then you come along and you step on my toe. Let's get more real. You steal my money. You steal my car. You lie about me. And I'm going to hold unforgiveness against you. When I was cleared of a debt I could not pay. Are you crazy? You just got to be stone crazy to think like that. You don't really understand how much you were saved. You were a hopeless case. You couldn't pay your debt either. That same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him about $15. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet. And notice he says word for word the same thing that the other one said to the king. Fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. And I will pay thee all. And this was $15. And he would not. He went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. That's the king. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I had compassion on thee, I read to you a while ago, I believe it was Ephesians 4, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Same. Wonder where Paul got that teaching. got it from the master. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Now, if you underline. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. In verse 25, I had you underline. He had not to pay. And he's tormented here until he pays. But he has not to pay. But he's tormented here until he pays. But he has not to pay. The most tormented people I know on planet Earth are Christians who refuse or say they can't forgive. Now we'll get to that part in just a minute. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. When he says, until all is paid, he's already stated earlier that the man had not to pay. See, there's only two ways that this guy could ever come out of the tormentors, come out from the torment. Either pay all. Can he do that? He's plainly says he's not able to pay all, is he? What's the other way out? Repent of his unforgiveness. Repent. Now, he may be like me when he comes out, see? For me, in my case, and I don't have time to really dwell on this, but in my case, in age 33, when I really got saved and I'm reading my Bible for the first time since I really come back to the Lord, and I come to that very passage that we read there, Mark 11, 25 and 26, where if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. And I was reading that passage, and these faces of these two people that in my mind had really hurt me came right up before me. And I said, Lord, I can't forgive them. He says, now here's how he said, he did not say to me, you're not my child if you don't. He said to me, well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't. And I thought, I want to go far with you. But Lord, there's nothing in me that wants, I'll tell you, okay. There's nothing that in me that wants to forgive them. In fact, Father, I want them to die and I want to do the killing. Now, that's how bad it was. You may be like that towards somebody. There may be somebody, I'm getting, but others, there may be something that happened. And I'm not saying it was, please don't misunderstand what forgiveness is. We're not saying what they did to you was right. That's not at all what we're saying. But he said to me, he said, well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't. I said, well, Father, I want to go far with you, but I can't find anything in me that even wants to forgive them. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that still small voice. Because he said to me, and he's saying to you, are you willing to be made willing? Now, my engineering analytical brain had to think on that for a minute. I'm not willing right now. I know I'm not willing. But if you could make me willing, then I would be willing. So I guess, yes, I'm willing to be made willing. I had no idea how that would happen. See, I could not find in myself. And maybe that's been your problem. You can't find in yourself how to do it. I couldn't. Turn to Luke 6. He gave me the most simple instruction that a child, a baby, the simplest person can do. He said, every time you think of them, I'm going to make you willing to be made willing. Every time you think of them, just ask me to bless them. That's all he said. Have you ever tried not to think about something? I mean, I didn't want to think about them. I sure didn't want to ask God to bless them. And of course, by trying not to think about them, guess what I did? I thought about them. So the first time I did it, I literally said, okay, Father, I thought of them. I'm asking you to bless them, and you know I don't mean it. Because I didn't want to be a hypocrite, you know. I know, you know I don't mean it. I didn't hear anything. I thought of him again this little while. I don't know how often I said, Father, I'm asking you to bless him, and you know I don't mean it. But I did notice this. I don't even think a day. After me, every time I'd think of him, Father, I'm just asking you to bless him. That's all I said. Something began to change. First, it dropped off where I said, and you know I don't mean it. I started thinking, well, I guess I don't want anybody, I guess, really to go to hell. Okay. If you can bless them, I guess go ahead and bless them. And I mean it a little bit, you know, something like that. But as that continued, I'm praying for them, see, at the most basic level. Just, he didn't ask me to do much. Just open the door crack. And he began to flood in. And something began changing in my heart. Not only did his love for them begin to really manifest through me, but he also began opening my eyes, because up until that moment, I thought they were 100% wrong. I was the righteous one, pure as the driven snow. You know how you are, or how I are, anyway. And he began showing me my part, where I had failed, where I had not really, anyway. Before it was over, I was more praying for me to be forgiven than I was them to be forgiven. Now, it's not always that way. I know that. It's not always that way. But it was in my case. You know, I think I would still be blind to that to this day had I not let him work that forgiveness in my heart. Bitterness would have grown. I wouldn't be in ministry today. Come on. I wouldn't be in ministry. I'd be a bitter, shriveled up old dude full of gall, bitterness and anger, resentment. I'd be looking at everybody suspect, you know. When are you going to hurt me? When are you going to hurt me? When you going to hurt me? You don't trust nobody. Thank God I'm not like that. And that's because of his grace. Because my Father taught me how to forgive. Now see, I had to go to Luke 6 for a reason. This is what he means when he says here in verse 27. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Now look at this. Pray for them which despitefully use you. He just started me there. He just started me there. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray I bless them. What do you mean pray? Well, just pray, Father, bless them. He just started me with the most simplest thing out of Luke. I didn't know it was Luke 6:27 then, or you know, but it was. Whatever it is, those of you even around the world, whatever it is that you have not been able to forgive, if you will ask your Father, he will help you. And I can tell you, he may say the same thing to you. Just start with this. Pray. Just pray for them. Pray for them. But ask him. He will help you. Your Father's alive and well. I got to go on here pretty good. Go to Colossians 3. Gary, you keep talking about space to repent. What if they never repent till they die? I'm not the judge. Space to repent means space to repent. When I teach on this, my purpose is to get you to forgive. Repent of your unforgiveness. I'm not here giving an essay on how long can you go without forgiving and still make heaven. That is not the lesson. I don't even care about that. I don't know why you're interested in that. Why don't you just forgive? Just forgive. That's the lesson. Learn, and if you don't know how, ask him. You know, James, we're going to get into James. When I say soon anymore, I never know what that means. You know, James talks about that wisdom. When you're being persecuted, ask for wisdom. You know why you have to ask for it? Well, it's sure not the world's way. The world's way is burn them up, God. They're treating me bad, make them toast. Or leave them alone, just deliver me. That's the world's way of thinking. God's way of thinking, we just saw it. Love them. Pray for them. Do good to them. On and on and on. Give to them. On and on it goes. That wisdom from above is certainly not like the wisdom of this world. You got to get it from God. Okay. Did I say go to Colossians? I did good. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. This is very similar to Ephesians 4. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Now notice, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. So we've got Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. We've got two witnesses here that say almost identically the same thing. You are to forgive as you have been forgiven. You got that? As Christ forgave you, you forgive. Let's think about that. What does forgiveness mean? Well, number one, when it's real in your, and from the heart. It may start with the lips. It did with me. It started with the lips. It started with obedience, but eventually it got in my heart. By the way, for those of you that's never heard that testimony, those same two people have become two of our closest friends on earth. We live three blocks from each other. When I'm out of town, they're the ones that go and, if something goes wrong at my mother's house, they're the ones that go fix it. Take my mama to get her hair done. Take her to get a Subway sandwich, you know. I'm telling you, it's better to live in, as friends all these. It's been a long time now, decades. Thank God we've lived as friends and not as enemies. Amen. Amen? Jesus' way is just better. It's just way better. Okay. Forgiveness means, well, number one, if you want to make some notes, to desire no harm to come to them. When you forgive them, you desire no harm. If you find revenge in your heart, you still want something bad to happen. Maybe not make them not toast, Lord, but just hurt them a little bit. Come on. Forgiveness, you desire no harm to come to them. Number two, you are ready to do them good as though they had never done anything wrong to you. It's pretty good, isn't it? Number three, if anyone reminds you of their trespasses against you, like, do you remember what old Fred did to you? You're the first one to tell him, I hardly know what you're talking about. That's all been forgiven. That was forgiven a long time ago. You ought to forget it like I have. You become almost like an intercessor for that person. See what I mean? Jesus is your intercessor. After he forgave you, isn't he ever making intercession for you still? Number four. You always treat them kindly as if they had not injured you. As God treats us when he forgives us. Is that pretty good? Now that's from the heart, see? And he will help you work it where it's real. It may start with the lips. It may start with obedience. He may tell you to take them a lemon pie. I'm not saying that for any reason. It's just what I thought of. He may tell you to take them a pie. Take them a cake. One time he had me give my worst enemy my pickup. Oz, right? What? My beloved pickup. I asked him. He said that. I said, what pickup? He knew I only had one. He couldn't be talking about that. But he was. See, you got to obey. He'll work it in you. He'll work it in you. I'm going to read you a prophecy, and then we're going to lead you in a short confession. This prophecy came in 2014, came through me. There's a word in it. Boy, I hope I brought it. Ha, I did. There's a word in it that causes some people to discredit it because... See, you know, God uses your, when he prophesies through you, he uses your language. Isn't that right? That's how God got it across to Dave that it's not always, prophecy doesn't always have to be King James. Remember? He said, well, how would I say that to a Chinese person? In yang wao ya so wa, how ya. You know, it'd be the language of that person. But it'd be the same message, wouldn't it? Well, you'll see the word here. You'll know it when we get to it. Every Okie knows what it means. I don't. Probably nobody in Connecticut knows, but this prophecy came through my mouth back in 2014, and the title of it is "You Cannot Walk in Unforgiveness and Revival Power." And I'll tell you right now, you can walk in unforgiveness and have a gifts revival. Happens all the time. You can walk in all kinds of trash and have a gifts revival. That's not the kind we're after. I'm not minimizing the gifts when I say that. I'm just saying God's had a lot of those revivals and they're always short-lived. Why? Flesh. Okay? But he's been working on us for decades to purge the flesh so that we're having a revival based on inheritance and not gifts. Can't teach more on that at this moment. Okay. Here's the prophecy. Title. You cannot walk in unforgiveness and revival power. Okay? This is a warning. If we are going to walk in the power of revival, I am telling you, people are going to die. Remember when Dave would talk about the power of God and the judgment of God? It comes as a two-edged sword. You don't get one without the other. Remember how Jesus said that Satan's coming, but he has nothing in me? What if he'd have found something in him? What if he'd have found something? You ever think about that? What if Jesus wasn't 100% purged? It would have short-circuited the gospel. Okay. If we're going to walk in the power of revival, I'm telling you, people are going to die. I am telling you, you cannot. That revival power cuts both ways. You cannot walk in unforgiveness and walk in that level of power. So if you cannot forgive them, now here's the word, skedaddle. Connecticutians, people that live in Connecticut have no idea what skedaddle means. See, skedaddle, if you're from Oklahoma, skedaddle is way more than leave. Skedaddle is run like there's a fire. Isn't that right? Skedaddle, get, go, quick, run for your life. That's skedaddle. Anyway. So if you cannot forgive them, skedaddle, leave here. Do you hear me? I'm trying to save your life. Now, this was God speaking through my lips. I know it was. He's trying to save your life. He'd rather you'd not be in the revival and still make heaven. It's serious. If you are not serious about this and about the love of God, what? You don't need forgiveness? What? You're the judge now? What? It's okay for you to judge? No, it's not. The only reason you're going to heaven is the blood of Jesus. Get over yourself. Amen? Now we're going to finish with some confessions, and this confession sheet will be at the website same time this message goes up at GaryCarpenter.org. It'll be linked with this message, and also we'll probably put it in the printed material section. The title of this confession is just forgiveness. Now, it talks about passages. One passage we didn't even get to today, which was Romans 12. Let me quote it to you, and then we're going to do the confession based on it. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Y'all remember that one? Here's a confession. Say this after me. I never get even. I never return evil for evil. I do good to all people. For my part, I live at peace with all people. I hate revenge. Revenge has no place in my life. I always give my anger to God. Vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. That is not my problem. I am free from revenge. I do good to my enemies. I use forgiveness to overcome evil. I overcome evil with good. Their soul is more important to me than my rights. I always forgive. Every time. It's a good one, isn't it? It's a good one. That'll help you. Now here's another one. Now, this one's based on one that we read out of Matthew 18, 34 and 35. We're talking about the tormentors. So just say this after me. I always forgive from the heart. The tormentors have no way into my life. Forgiveness slams the door shut against torment. When I forgive, I loose those people from the tormentors. And when I forgive, I loose myself from the tormentors. I always forgive. I am free. Now here's another one, based on Galatians 5:6, where it talks about faith working by love. You can look it up later. And also Mark 11:25 and 26, which we read today. So just say with me, faith works by love.
Faith works by love.
Love forgives.
Love forgives.
I forgive. My Father forgives me. And my faith always works. My prayers are always answered. I'll always forgive others every day. And my Father forgives me every day. Good stuff, isn't it? Isn't that good stuff? See, that's family, isn't it? You understand that? All right, this last one is based on 5:23 and 24. Matthew 5:23 and 24. Let me read it to you real quick. Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Here's a confession on that. I forgive my brother before I give to God. Forgiving others is important to my prosperity. I desire that the Father be pleased with my gifts to him. So I forgive first, and I give second. I am free to receive blessing from my Father. I am a forgiver, and I am a giver. In Jesus' name.